Hey everyone, I'm excited to bring to you Jane Liu, who we met through the LinkedIn Asian Alliance. We were actually located in different locations, but that's the beauty of working for a global company. You meet so many awesome and amazing people. And this is episode 102, so thanks for tuning in. I'm really excited to share with you Jane's interesting story about traveling and her blog. She has a lot of amazing tips. And I'll link to the blog as well. So if you want to subscribe, please hit subscribe. And I'll also connect you to her LinkedIn profile if you want to reach out. But Jane is a senior talent insight consultant. And she has experience with building a following and writing. And she's just like a really thoughtful and really fun person to speak with. And just, yeah, I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Welcome, Jane.
Hey there. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. So I was taking a look at your blog on jetlagjourney.com, and you were sharing with me that your fiance, it works for United Airlines. So, you know, that fortunately you do have the perks, but it also sounds like even beyond that, you're pretty good about like maximizing points and travel and just traveling on a pretty minimal budget too, right?
Yeah, so I've been very, very lucky. My fiance Kyle and I started this blog because we have this amazing opportunity to travel and to travel at a very reasonable price point. But yeah, just like you said, I think even prior to traveling together as a couple, it was really important to me to identify ways to earn points in the right ways, to maximize your credit cards, and to eventually travel in the lifestyle that you're looking for. So whether you're looking to travel, you know, on a budget, or if you're trying to travel, you know, in luxury, there's always ways to do that without having to break the bank.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, we were talking about this when we first connected. I honestly, this is crazy to even say out loud, but I used to think that travel was only for like rich people. You know, I mean, I think there was a couple of things there. I mean, that's like a pretty loaded statement, but I used to think that, you know, like you have to make at least like six figures to like travel, like comfortably. Wow, I can't speak. But yeah, I have noticed that, you know, there are a lot of people like yourself that just are able to like understand the systems and understand like loyalty points and are able to maximize. So you don't necessarily have to drop like thousands every night when you're out traveling.
Yeah, I think really it depends on what type of travel you're looking to do. I think nowadays with a lot of younger people, especially if you don't have family, there's this interest to seek out these experiences nowadays more than, you know, just material wealth. And so that's a huge part of our blog, is to be able to share not only how to maximize your points and how to actually get there and to do that, but also once you get to the place, how do you maximize your experience there? Because I think that's a huge part of how I've grown as a person, is to be able to experience and immerse myself into that culture. So yeah, depending on how you want to travel and what is most important to you, there's definitely a way to go about doing that.
And I'm curious, like what makes you so curious and just like passionate about like traveling in the first place? Like when you were younger, like did your parents travel a lot? Or was this just something that just innately, like you were always like at an early age interested in?
Yeah, so I feel like I have kind of a unique childhood. Both my parents used to work as diplomats, and so they traveled a lot themselves just for work. I ended up traveling a ton with them really, really, really young. And I think at the beginning, I felt like it was kind of a burden for me because I didn't speak the language. I was behind in school and it was really, really tough to travel. But as I got a little bit older, and especially now as an adult, I look back and I realize how being able to go to all those countries have created this sense of like understanding and more awareness of the different cultures, the different background, and the different stories that are out there beyond what is in my now community or what I've grown up with. And so especially now thinking about all of my experience as an adult, I realize that it's really shaped who I am. It's really shaped how accepting I can be for a lot of things. And that's why I'm such a huge proponent of people, especially when they're young, to travel, is to be able to see more, to be able to experience more, and to not only really stepping outside of your own shoes, right? Like stepping into someone else's shoes to understand why that culture or that, you know, country is the way it is.
So have you been to some countries that maybe you initially thought it would be a certain way, but then when you were there, like it completely changed your perspective on things? Like maybe a country that was like what the media would deem as like dangerous, but then you had a completely different experience than maybe the mainstream?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. For me, I think the biggest, I guess, mindset change and disparity maybe even when I went back to Beijing, which is where I was born. And I moved to America I moved a lot when I was young, but then I officially, you know, landed in America around middle school. And so from middle school to college, I really didn't get a lot of opportunity to go back because I was in school, I was learning English, and just there was a lot happening here. But at the end of college, I went back to Beijing for the first time, and I got to experience China as an older person, not necessarily a full-on adult, but someone who has new thoughts and new understanding of the world. And it was such a unique experience because even just the city of Beijing has changed drastically in the 10, 15 years that I was out of that city. It's so modernized, and cities like Hong Kong, Shanghai, and they're just so beautiful and so developed. And it's really not what I had expected, because when I left, it was a completely different country. And living in America, getting the education that American students get, I had a really interesting perspective of China as a country. And so when I went back, it was just so different, and it was eye-opening for me. So that's probably one country that had the biggest disparity in my mind, I guess.
Yeah, I remember watching a documentary on Netflix, and it talked about, like, to put things into perspective, like how much China has grown versus how much innovation America has had. And, and basically made me present to, like, wow, like, if we don't get our stuff together, like companies are really going to pass, like really surpass us in so many ways, like not only like economically, but just like, you know, in terms of like everything, it just, yeah, I do think Americans in general have like a, I don't know if it's like ingrained in us on purpose, but it's almost like sometimes it's like, we think we're better than other countries in some ways, you know?
And I think that mentality is exactly why I think traveling is such an important part of a person's growth. I obviously, America is a great country, and it's a leader right out there. But here's the thing is, like, there's so much culture outside of the United States. There's so much history. There are countries and cities out there that are just as advanced, if not more advanced, than what we experience. And so a lot of times when we're stuck in our bubble, you know, it's great, we feel good. But when you go out and you explore and you learn and you see, that's the best way for you to kind of make your own decision on where we are on things. So yeah, exactly like you said, you know, we're the best in some things, but there are also a lot of other things that we can improve on. And I think traveling can really enable that ability to see.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've gotten from, I haven't traveled nearly as much as you, but even going to different states, like I've still have gotten some rude awakenings, right? Like living in New York City and you know, in the Northeast, like you think everyone's go, go, go. But I remember like even just being in Austin, Texas was like a completely different experience. Or, you know, when I went to like Colombia, like I was like blown away, you know, like it seemed like people were happy with just not a lot of money, right? Like people were able just to hang out and just chill by the beach and like, just, you know, like it definitely made me think like, wow, like I work so hard, you know, and it's like, I can't even relax. Whereas some people, they're able to relax with like literally nothing, right?
Right. It's a whole mentality change, right? At the end of the day, we come back to our jobs and, you know, we got to do what we got to do. But I think you're right. It helps shift your mindset. It helps remind you that there are, you know, other things beyond just like money or, you know, what we think brings happiness. There's just so much more to that. I think another thing that is really important for me, or at least for my growth, is being able to travel, provided that context of like, this is how people live in this country. This is what is most important to them, right? This is what makes them happy. And so it helps explain why certain countries are in certain political situations. It explains why certain countries are in certain economic situations. And so, it goes beyond just traveling and getting that amazing experience, but it also helps give you perspective into some of these, you know, political, economic situations that a lot of countries are in. So yeah, it's honestly a really rewarding experience.
What's something that Americans can learn from even just being in Beijing? Like, what's something that people do what you would could say like is a learning moment or something that maybe we can implement to better our lives?
Oh gosh. I think one thing that Beijing does, and this maybe is a broader country thing, I'm not sure, but I know one of the things that the country does really well and is continuing to work on is preserving history. There's so much, right? In China, like there's such long history for this country. And granted, United States maybe didn't have as long of a history, but preserving history, understanding history and learning from it is such a big part of the local culture. Like maybe I'm not representing like a whole country well, but I know locally in Beijing, there's all these initiatives to keep, you know, local buildings, local communities and things like that, and architecture. I think that's something that it's just so interesting, right? Because as a tourist, as somebody who's coming in for the first time, you not only see the flashiness that it looks like New York City, it looks flashy, and that's what Beijing, Shanghai, or maybe even Hong Kong looks like, but there are also these smaller streets that look just like how they were hundreds, thousands of years ago. And it's a completely different experience being in one part of the city versus another. So that's something that I felt like was a really meaningful part of my trip there that I feel like, and I just don't know enough about how America's doing that, but I feel like that's something that would be amazing to be able to do here as we build our history as well.
Yeah. I think generally, you know, minus like some of the major cities. Yeah. I think because we're so into change and innovation that a lot of its profits almost like, I think it's pretty apparent that in America, like we value capitalism and that we value just making a lot of money, right? I think that's like very clear. And the way we run corporations, generally speaking, like, you know, just if you were to generalize, right, business in America. But I do think there's like other countries that would sacrifice profits a little bit, right? Not saying that they're not as like hungry to grow, but you know, culture is equally as important maybe, right?
Yeah, and I think that kind of got me thinking too, is like a big cultural difference that I've noticed between a lot of Asian countries and for example, America or maybe some European countries is that, and I talk a lot about this with my fiance of even what is happening now, right? Just to even bring it back to what we're dealing with day to day. I think a lot of Asian cultures, they teach and they practice collectivism. And whereas in America, it's celebrated to be an individual. It's I'm not saying one is right and wrong, right? They both have pros and cons. But for example, with, you know, COVID is something that we're dealing with day to day. Everybody's dealing, it's hard not to bring this up. But I know my family members who are currently living in Beijing, like they put on their masks, right? If they know that this is to take care of each other, and it's just ingrained into their culture. So it's a little bit easier to control, you know, diseases like this, whereas in America, we're big into taking care of ourselves and be, you know, I want to be better. I want to, you know, get a step up or whatever it is. And sometimes it can be tough. So I think culturally, there's a lot of differences that we can also learn from each other as well.
Yeah. I think what makes us great is also our biggest weakness. I think because everything is based on individual contributed, like we get gold stars when we get an A, right? It's not like, well, you know, you should give gratitude to your parents for helping you like do your homework, or like, oh, you should be thankful to your teacher that, you know, they helped you get to like college or whatever. Not saying that we don't, but just generally speaking, like we tend to be very like individual based, which I think sometimes is great, right? When it comes to creativity and just if you want to like start your own podcast or write a book, like when it comes to individual accomplishments, like no one beats America.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to like other people and someone else other than yourself, then yeah, I think we have a long way to go.
Yeah. No, and I don't know. I think, you know, it goes back to the thing of when you do get to travel, you see and you see other perspectives, right? Like maybe for someone who's always been in the United States, you know, they really value individualism, and that's great. It just like you said, it fosters creativity. It there's all these benefits. But when you travel to another country, you get to see how, like, why do people care about collectivism? What are the benefits? And maybe it's not optimal, right? Maybe it's not the best situation for each individual, but collectively, maybe we are better together. So I don't know, I hate to be cheesy, but but I feel like, you know, those are things you get to see when you travel.
Yeah. And I love your latest post. You talked about like traveling to Amsterdam and maximizing. So I would love to see like, how do you approach like just preparing, like planning? Like how do you divide up? Like, do you leave time for just in case things don't go as planned? Like how do you plan when things go wrong? Because ultimately that's just life. Like things do come up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, I have so much to share. So like I mentioned before, we travel a ton, and a lot of it is the weekend trips. So it's super fast, right? In our latest post, we talked about 72 hours in Amsterdam. And we did this at the beginning of last year, pre-COVID. We went to the city that we've actually been to 5 times. And it's just the city that we absolutely love. And I think there's a couple things to think about, and it's not everything I can share. There's so much more I can share, but I think accessibility is such an important piece of traveling on a fast trip like this. If you plan on going on a quick, you know, if it's less than a week, you need to be located. Your hotel needs to be located somewhere where it's easily accessible to transportation. So in our blog, we talked about how our hotel is just, you know, a quick boat away to the biggest transportation center, the Amsterdam Central Station. And so that's a huge part of that. The other part, I think, especially for Amsterdam, where we've been a couple times already, it was really important for us to not only do the touristy stuff, but also experience and immerse ourselves into the culture. So we always recommend talking to locals to get recommendation, talk to people to see where are their local, you know, farmers market, because that's really where you're going to get the most authentic local ingredients or food or gifts or whatever it may be. One of the easiest ways that you can do that is actually talking to the hotel guides. A lot of the hotel employees, they obviously live there, so they have local recommendations for you. And that's actually what we did for our Amsterdam trip. We were able to get recommendations from locals, and it really elevated our experience because we got to see, you know, people biking to work. We got to see people picking up a quick coffee, and that's their culture. So, you know, going back to what we're talking about before, if you want to truly immerse yourself and truly see how, you know, people from another country live, you really have to create opportunities to be able to actually see and observe them. So I think those are kind of the big things about our Amsterdam trip in particular.
Is this just me, or are they also like the nicest human beings in the
Oh
world?
my gosh, so nice.
They're so nice.
Oh, it's so crazy. And they're always there to help. And it's just so crazy. It just makes me like appreciate people so much. Like Amsterdam is so nice. A lot of European countries, people are so nice. One example I like immediately thought of was when we were in Japan. We were in Tokyo, and I don't speak Japanese. I like understand some of the characters because they look like Chinese, but you know, I don't speak the language. And some places, especially if you're immersing yourself, there's no English at those places. It's not like a central city life. So we got lost, and there's just this local who didn't speak English. We were just pointing at things like he was, you know, he had a place to go. He didn't need to help us. And he just stopped. He walked us. He figured out where we're trying to go. He walked us to the right terminal at like the biggest train station. And then he just walked off without anything, without like a thank you. Like we were trying to thank him. We're trying to figure out how to thank him. And he just walked away. He's like, okay, great. And it's just like, I don't know. It just really made us appreciate like the people and the locals in a lot of the countries.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why some Americans think that like foreigners are like mean or whatever. I always hear like, oh, you know, like French people are mean, or like, oh, people don't like Americans. But I've often found like the opposite experience. Like almost everywhere I went, they were like super kind and super hospitable, that it's almost weird because you're just like in America, like this wouldn't happen. So you're like, do they want something from me? But people are just
exactly, you're
nice.
Suspicious.
Yeah, because it doesn't happen here too often.
It's crazy. I think, I mean, it really all goes back to like challenging your own thoughts, right? Like, just like we said, a lot of times we are taught certain things in the United States, and granted, some things are true, but a lot of things are opinionated, and a lot of things are biased. So, you know, being able to travel really gives you the opportunity to decide for yourself, right? To go experience, to go talk to people, to see their lives. And really make that decision for yourself. So yeah, exactly like you said.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, I know when we first met, like I was like, yeah, she's pretty cool. Like she's pretty open-minded. So it sounds like there's a lot of perks of having like diplomatic or parents who are diplomats. What was like an experience that you had in another country that would be like hard to comprehend for like that would never happen in the US?
Oh my gosh. I can't even, I don't know. There's just so many things. Like every country is very, very different. I think, you know, again, I don't want to harp on like a lot of the tough things that we're dealing with right now, because I feel like anytime I talk about travel, it's to escape, it's to be able to like get out of your day to day. But one of the things I actually experienced a lot here in the United States versus another country is racism. Like, not to say that it doesn't happen elsewhere, but it is a lot more prominent in the United States. And it's really tough to accept that, right? Because I think before I moved to the United States, I had a really like rosy view of what it might be like to be in America. But I never really thought too much, because I was very young, so I never really thought too much about like what it might mean as an Asian American in the United States, or as a female in the United States. So things like that I'm realizing now that I wish maybe we didn't have, right? Because granted, it is history that has brought us to where we are now, but yeah, it sucks. So I think there's a lot of disparity there. Whereas my experience living in some of the other countries, it was pretty inclusive, and I didn't experience, you know, my race wasn't the reason why, you know, certain things happened, or you know, I didn't feel like I couldn't make friends, or I couldn't do this or that because of my race. So yeah, I think that's like the one big difference between my experience and some other, or living in some other countries than maybe United States. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I do think it's an interesting topic, right? Yeah, I mean, just reflecting on my past, like there's been a lot of moments of where I've reflected on like microaggressions that have been geared towards me, or just outright just racism, right? Too, right? I think we've all like every minority and in some point in their lives have experienced some sort of racism here in the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think like America is great for just like in terms of just diversity, like, you know, living in New York City, like every day I can try like a different cuisine from a different culture if I wanted to. Yeah. Like there's just so much diversity in general. But because of that though, you know, I mean, I do think in general, like Americans are finally like kind of having to look in the mirror and be like, hey, like it's kind of messed up, like how some of this stuff is still going on. So I think people are open to it, but I mean, obviously we have a long way to go, but at least we're having the conversation now compared to before where we just pretend like it didn't exist.
Yeah. I think one thing to think about too, even for your listeners, a recent video I was watching, and there are a couple who's on YouTube. If you guys want to find them, they're called Iz Harris, I-Z Harris, and Johnny Harris. Both of them are journalists and producers, and they make YouTube videos as well as Vox videos, and you know, their full-time job, I believe, is journalism. But anyways, point is, I was watching their video, and they're travel bloggers. And one of the things they talked about that really got me thinking was, you know, people ask them, what is it like being white when you're traveling? And it like never occurred to them traveling as a white couple. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, for me, I have thought about it before, but I don't think it's as prominent of an issue for me. But it really did make me rethink about, you know, when I travel, how do people think of me? As an Asian American, I probably get certain privileges and, you know, whatnot just by being an American, right? Like that comes with the territory. So, but I do look Asian. So what does that mean? And there's a lot of those, you know, racial things that comes into play even with travel. Obviously, there's a lot of countries you might not be able to travel to if you're female, if you're not married. There's a lot of that. But for your listeners, you know, if you are thinking about traveling, and if race and equality is something that is, you know, huge on your mind, because everybody's thinking about these days, think about like what it means as whatever race you are to travel in your race. I think it could be an interesting and reflective experience to think about that.
Yeah, it is interesting. I remember when I was in the UK, it didn't seem like race was like never a conversation. You know, it's just, I guess like even speaking to people from the UK, they like just reflecting when I volunteer for events and when we have like these conversations, they do say like race, the topic of the race just like never comes up in general. Like it's just not talked about as much as it is in the US.
But I
definitely did have an experience like when I was traveling to Colombia, and all of us, like we were all Asian that went. And it's kind of funny how like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan are just, they're just so globally like known across like everyone, like they're global icons.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like that was kind of like the comment that we received a lot, which, you know, like it was funny, right? But it's kind of interesting. It really kind of does. I think about like how media and movies like really play a role in just how people think in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee were just global phenomenals. Like every country, no matter like where you're from, like they just know who those people are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting. Like I often, I remember like coming to like Rutgers, and I set myself up where like I only hung out with Asians. It was crazy. Like I for 4 years of my life, like I only hung out with Asians. And then I realized, I was like, whoa, like I need to kind of like get outside my comfort zone and kind of like expand to different groups. But I do notice, like even for myself, like I do gravitate more towards like minorities. Like every time I meet like any minority, like I'm more likely to talk to the minority than I am.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just interesting for me to like have that realization, like, oh, that's interesting that you do this.
Yeah. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, like minorities, we experience similar things, right? It may not be the exact same story, but the gist is the same. And so there's already that instant connection. And, you know, to bring it back even to the traveling piece, if traveling, if you don't feel safe traveling, you can always travel with a group. You can travel with existing tours that are out there that, you know what they're doing. There are a lot of ways. I do think it is important to travel safely. And if race is a part of that, like if that's a worry for you, there are ways to go around that as well. But yeah, I think you're right. Like I have similar experience. I have a lot of Asian friends just because we like experience similar things, you know, like you have this instant understanding. So it's a little easier to like strike up a conversation.
Right. And then, so you mentioned travel, like, because I do think some countries, like people think it's a lot more dangerous than it really is as well. So how do you really know? Because I know a lot of friends that like visit all these countries and then people are like, oh, like, I thought that was like a dangerous country. And they're like, no, not for me. But granted, they're mostly men, like the ones that I'm speaking about. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you like really know?
Yeah, that's a great question. To be completely transparent, I've not been to any country that has limitations for women. And so I have never necessarily had that experience where, you know, maybe my race or gender has limited my travel ability. I don't necessarily go seek those experiences out because it can be really tough and it can definitely be dangerous. So I'm not necessarily recommending that. But I do think there are a lot of countries where maybe there's negative press and maybe it's not actually the case. I think, and I'll use maybe China as an example, because, you know, this is probably, and we talked about this and people probably think of this country when we think of some of the negative stuff. There are maybe a couple ways that I can recommend. Number one is talk to people who have been there, or maybe even talk to locals, right? So talk to friends who have immigrated from there, if you have access to that information. That's a great way for you to at least do your research to see whether or not it could be friendly for you to go there. If you have friends who might be your race or your gender who have been to this place and they have recommendations for where to stay that might be safe, where to go that might be safe, that is your best bet because they've already experienced it for you. If not, there are, like I mentioned, there might be tour groups that know where to take you so that you are not going out of your way to like immerse yourself in places that might not be the safest. So if it's your first time in that country, maybe try something that is pre-planned by a professional if you're feeling uneasy about going there. And then last but not least, for example, for a country like China, there are parts of that country where they do welcome tourists really a lot. And I'm not saying that other areas don't, but just if you don't feel comfortable, there are major metropolitan cities where a lot of expats live there. A lot of people travel there. So, you know, Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, maybe even experience the culture through Taiwan. And there's you know, a lot of ways for you to experience kind of that culture without needing to go to some random place. And it's extremely safe to do that. Those are kind of things. Definitely do your research. I'm not promoting going to places that you don't feel comfortable. Do your research, find people who have been there, who have done it before, and go to places where you know it's welcoming for tourists, at least as your first time going there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to places where, you know, I have felt like pretty uncomfortable. And then sometimes I'm like, well, is it just because it's like a brand new country? Or is it like, you know, like sometimes, but reflecting afterwards, I'm always like, oh, I'm glad I did that. Even though it was, you know, it was like very uncomfortable sometimes, because I'm like, oh, I don't really know, or I don't speak the language well, or whatever. Yeah. But most of the time, like, I'm always like, well, I'm glad I did that. Like, that was like something different that I would never do back at home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. There are some countries where when I think about it, I'm like, I might never go back ever again. Like, maybe this is my only time being here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, especially for people who don't travel a ton or don't care to travel a ton, like when you go somewhere, you have to make the most out of that experience because it truly might be the last time you go there. So yeah, exactly like you said, I've never regretted any of my travels. it will be uncomfortable, just like you said. It will be very uncomfortable, especially, you know what, another thing you could do is you could dip your toe in places where they speak English. Like, that could be your first layer of like travel experience. And then once you get familiar with what it's like to be like a frequent traveler, then you go to places like Tokyo or China, wherever, right? Maybe you're not as comfortable. But yeah, that's another way to like dip your toe in the water too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know when I was like in the UK, like I felt like in London, I was like, oh, it's kind of weird because like I feel like I can, you know, but so like the perfect amount of uncomfortableness where I was just like, right. At least I understand everything, but it was still uncomfortable for me where I was like, whoa, like I don't know anyone here, you know.
I will say I'm a huge proponent of traveling solo. We're talking, me and my fiance are talking about, you know, writing about traveling solo, especially because nowadays a lot of young people want to travel and want to get that experience. You may actually end up traveling solo. I always push people to have at least one trip where you're really outside of your comfort zone. Like, as cheesy as that is, it really makes you grow. I did like it was like a week backpack trip with my cousin, all through Europe. And it was such and granted it was not traveling solo, but it was such a different experience than I traditionally had. And it like really opened my eyes. It really humbled me. And I think, you know, backpacking and staying at, you know, maybe not the fanciest resorts and traveling solo, like all those things sound really intimidating, but they're super, super rewarding.
Yeah. I know, like when I go off the beaten path, like food and everything's so much cheaper too, right? So like, you're like, wow, like $1 goes a really long way. And then the food is better too. Like, quite frankly, like you're like, this is legit. And then you get to like you said, like really learn more about the culture, because like a lot of the more like touristy stuff, like they pretty much make it Americanized because they know like, hey, like, you know, they'll at least kind of know what this is versus like trying food that's like completely foreign. They're like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, no. And it's such a, and like worst case scenario, it's a story to tell, right? Like if you had a bad experience, it's a story to tell. You know, I think for me, like there's every single trip, there's always something that has changed me, right? Like whenever I recall a trip that I had, whether it's, you know, 72 hours somewhere or if it's a week somewhere, it always like shaped a part of me. And so I feel like, I don't know, I'm just such a travel freak maybe, and maybe I travel like too much, but I really do think it should be a part of everybody's experience. And even if you're not young, right? Like even if you have family, even if you have animals, like there are so many ways that you can travel. And there's tips out there, like beyond our website, there's a lot of tips and tricks out there for traveling with kids, and how to set realistic expectations when you're traveling with kids. Cause you do have to shift the way you think about your travel and what you're getting out of it. So yeah, there's so much resource out there.
And like, I think a lot of people, like you said, are afraid of traveling with animals. What are some like quick, maybe like two or three tips that you would give for people who, you know, have dogs and they're like, it's impossible to travel with dogs. I wouldn't even want to try it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So this year we adopted our dog. Her name is Oreo. She's a cutie. She's on Instagram. Her handle is Oreo in Chi, C-H-I. But yeah, we adopted her and COVID started, and you know, we did our road trip across the United States with her. And it was such an interesting experience because, you know, we don't have kids, so we don't know how difficult it may be. But traveling with dogs can be really tough as well. So I think a couple things, and we wrote a really extensive article about it, about how to like make your pet comfortable in hotels and how to best prepare for it. But I think for us, the biggest thing that we learned is you have to create hotel experience and the travel experience very homey for your animal. Mm-hmm. They're they're so used to routine. Like I know my dog, and granted every animal is different, so I don't want to generalize, but my dog specifically, she loves routine. She needs routine. Like that is a part of her experience living with us. When we started traveling, the first time we did our road trip from Chicago to Los Angeles, it was really, really tough on her. And she didn't eat well, she didn't sleep well. And we realized like we need to do something different for her to not have to suffer. So the second time we did this same road trip, we gave her like ample time at the hotel. We let her, you know, we do our research so that the hotels that we're staying are dog friendly. We give her time to like sniff out the external space and the internal space. And, you know, there's just, you know, we shower her with new toys and, you know, get her tired and give her treats. And there's, you know, there's so many things you can do, but you have to make that entire experience comfortable for them, for it to not be miserable, you know? And so I think with 2020, normally we fly, but this past year in 2020, we had to drive. And so our trips are super long with her, and we really had to adopt, you know, what her experience might be on the road trip. So yeah, so there's a lot that you can do, but we wrote a pretty extensive article about it on Jetlag Journey.
Yeah, I'll link to your blog. And I'm curious, because this is not your first time like creating a blog and building a following, what tips would you give to people who are maybe like afraid, or maybe they have like a private blog, but they don't necessarily want to share it with the world, but they want to, but they're kind of still hesitant?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's both so rewarding and it can be such a headache sometimes. I'm sure you're familiar. It's such a rewarding experience. I will say that we started our blog in 2020 during COVID, when we just had so much time. And I've done blogs before, and it's a really, really tiring experience, but the reward is so amazing. I think the biggest thing that I learned, and I kind of heard this quote, and I'm probably not quoting it correctly, but I heard it from someone, and I truly believe this, is you have to create content before you create good content. A lot of people, and I'm kind of curious about your thought too, is like, first writers or first time writers, you're never good enough. Like you always feel insecure. Like I am such a perfectionist. Yeah. I was so scared to post really early on. At this point, I'm just like, I'm just putting it out there. You know, I'll get better as I go. I'll figure it out as I go. But yeah, I'm kind of curious about your thought. Like, what's been your experience here?
Yeah, I would agree. I think in general, people tend to like overanalyze and over like the first thing they put, like their first website has to be perfect. Their first post has to be perfect. It's like, it's never going to be perfect. You know, I think the more, like you said, getting into the habit of doing something and consistently, like where it's like become a routine, where it's just like the same as brushing your teeth, then you're like, oh, okay, that's, because I think in the beginning it's always gonna like suck, you know, like my first 20 podcasts, I'm like, oh god, I can't even like listen to it again, like it's horrible. But everyone gets a little bit better, and then eventually I'm like, I can kind of stand my voice, but it's still painful for me to re-listen to it.
it'll get there. It takes time, and like patience is such a huge part of it. And also patience is the hardest part. Like when you're not seeing growth, when you're not seeing results, it can be really, really tough. But it is a part of the grind, right? Like you have to put content out there. It has to provide value for people. And if it does, like you'll eventually build, obviously there's tips and tricks along. It's not just that easy, but when you're driving traffic to your website, you better make sure whatever you're providing on your blog or on your whatever it is providing value for people. So if anything, that's like the other thing that I really believe in.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway as well. Yeah, I think in anything in life, like it has to provide value, because nowadays we're just inundated with so much technology, so many pings, so many notifications that people's attention span is short. So if it's not valuable, even within the first like 10 seconds, like people will move on. So I think, you just have to make sure like, okay, is this something that someone, whoever's reading it, like they will get something out of it, or is it? So I think people generally want to learn something whenever they read.
Yeah. I feel like one thing you really taught me, and I'm really trying to practice, so I'm gonna like throw it out there, is, you know, you mentioned like collaborating is such a big part of this community, right? Like content creation community. You don't have to just be a blogger, you could be anything. But like that's why I'm here, to share my story and to share my experience. And hopefully, you know, with this podcast, I was able to share some tips and tricks that can help people. But yeah, even like even just throwing it out there, if any of your audience, you know, loves travel or have expertise in certain part of the travel like experience, whether it's a country you've been to or a place you've lived in, like message me. I would love to work with you guys. Yeah, I think that's something that I'm trying to practice that you taught me. So thank you.
Oh, I have to connect you with someone. Her name is TJ Mayo. She travels a lot, and she's a, you know, a female, and she travels like solo. So she does, I think I would connect you with her, because she does talk about like traveling safely and what that looks like and how she goes about it, being that she travels everywhere like solo.
That would be amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool, Jane. Well, this has been awesome. Clearly your passion for travel, and I think it will inspire a lot of people to go outside their comfort zone. Like, you know, from when we first met, like you're always so open and so curious, and it's no surprise. It's because like you just experience a lot of different cultures. So you're always very open, and you're always willing to learn about someone new. So I'm so glad we crossed paths. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. For your audience, if you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn. You're welcome to subscribe to our blog as well at jetlagjourney.com. We're also on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll connect to all of your socials. And cheers. Happy travels.